If you have your Bible, I would ask you to turn with me now to Psalm 46. We've been blessed in recent months to spend some time in the Psalter in a variety of different psalms. This evening, we find ourselves in Psalm 46, and as we prepare for the reading of God's Word, please stand with me. This is God's perfect word. These are words of life, and it's the portion of God's word that He has in His good providence appointed for your hearing this evening. So I urge you to pay careful attention to it as we read this evening from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we make our appeal to you again this evening to make us receptive to this truth of yours. It is a strong truth. It's a truth that our hearts need to hear. We need to be assured of the gospel again and the power of our King. So help us to see all of that, our Lord. Forgive our sins, forgive our waywardness, and seal your truth to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I think of Psalm 46, I think of death. Psalm 46 is to me a funeral psalm. That may sound strange to you, having just heard it read, because Psalm 46 drips with confidence in the Lord and His strength and His victory, even over things like death and hell. And I say, exactly. This is what makes Psalm 46 so perfect when death should threaten, or even when death should prevail for a time over our loved ones, when it should threaten to prevail over us. And so it has often been the case that I've read Psalm 46 on hospital visits when there's great ailing and uncertainty and pain and difficulty. And I've read Psalm 46 when it appears that death may be near, so that one ailing can hear the strong voice of their Savior once more. I've read Psalm 46 at many funerals, and I've preached it at some of them. I remember a particular occasion. It was a former elder of mine, and it was at the time when he had just died. I remember the day very clearly. It was a Monday, June 19th, 2006. And he had just gone home to be with the Lord, and his family was gathered in his hospital room. And it was then that I read Psalm 46 to comfort his grieving widow and his children and many of his grandchildren who were all in that room. And 3 years later, when that elder's widow died, I preached this same psalm at her funeral as well to comfort her family with it once more. Because it seems to me that particularly in our weakness and our times of loss, we need to hear that God is strong and that He's able and that He's victorious when we feel as though we've been defeated. As you read through this psalm, it should become quickly clear that there are two major components which form a stunning contrast of sight and of sound and of general atmosphere. These are the two components that we see in Psalm 46. There is a violent turbulence that we see in this world in which we face, which is answered by the quieting power of God. A violent turbulence that we face in this world, which is answered by the quieting power of God. These two components in Psalm 46 are not isolated from one another. In fact, the two components sound forth antiphonally, as though they were choirs singing to one another these truths which are there. The turbulence, which is answered by stillness, chaos, which receives the hushing response of strength and control from the divine. Think with me first, if you will, about the great turbulence that we find in this psalm, and not only that which we read of in this psalm, but the turbulence which you and I face in our journeys as well. It is here that I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, at least for most who are gathered here. The turbulence of this world which we see on such a routine basis. Indeed, often we feel as though we have front row seats to witness the turbulence and seeming chaos of this world. There was a massacre at a college in Oregon just this past week that we witnessed. There's a terrorist organization in the Middle East that kills men and rapes women in the name of their false god. We have injustice that prevails in our courts. We have a nation full of people that are eager to give more attention to a visiting pope than they are to the Word of God. Last week, in an adjoining community, there was a shootout on a major road, even that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, in the middle of the day. All of this turbulence which confronts us. And let's not forget, there is a hurricane out there just to our east. And the sea is very angry right now, even as we meet in peace in this room. Are these not the very kinds of things of which Psalm 46 speaks? Verse 2 speaks of the earth giving way. Think of that language, the earth giving way. Also in verse 2, the mountains shake. In verse 3, the waters roar and foam and they surge. All of this near chaos, picturing that which is threatening to take over the earth and turn upside down all of the order which God had established. The 6 days of creation are a catalog of the order which God has set in place for the creation He has made, and yet Psalm 46 chronicles for us all of those elements which threaten to undo it were it possible. These are the natural disasters that we're talking about. Signs of the world, it seems to us at times, nearly coming unhinged, of turbulence so severe that the land seems to be falling into the sea. And in addition to the imagery of nature in chaos, Psalm 46 also speaks of nations in chaos. Look at verses 6 and 9, which mention the nations which are in an uproar, and that there are wars of various kinds with the weapons of men. This too, like the natural disasters, are things we can easily see in our own day. These are disasters, let us note, not reserved for some apocalyptic moment in the future, as if we were reading of some terrors and horrors that are so far from us we can hardly relate. No, the earth totters even now. There are wars all around. There is distress and seeming chaos, and we wonder, how could it all be fixed? And you read of it in the headlines every week, and you experience a little bit of it in your own life. I hardly need to paint you a picture. I trust that you are well acquainted with suffering and uncertainty. For this world is broken and we're sinners, which only compounds our trouble. We sing hymns like, "Whate'er my God ordains is right," as an act of convincing ourselves. We sing that in an effort to convince ourselves. We need to know and we need to remember that He really is all wise. Because we're not always as confident of that as we should be. We need to remember and convince ourselves again of our calling to yield to the Lord. Even when mountains are crumbling right into the ocean, and it appears that the waters shall overtake us. There are children suffering. There's justice that is sabotaged in the most malicious ways. There is mental illness. There is hopelessness. We look around and we say, "Lord, how this world is broken and how our sins make it so much worse." How much death and pain do we or our loved ones endure? How tired are we of seeing the destruction of human life even prior to birth? How much death and destruction can a single storm wield upon a village or a city? How much does it hurt us to see non-Christians who lash out at the name of Christ? They say the vilest things about our triune God. How many more nights of despair, of doubt, of loneliness can my weak heart endure, we ask. And when, oh when, will my craving for sin go away? Although this psalm speaks of distress and suffering on a more cosmic scale, we can readily appreciate how our more individual battles are easily included in this mess of anguish. I encourage you to read Psalm 46 as not describing some woe and disaster afar. It is that which is near as well. By no means do I wish to suggest that all of this anguish is the steady norm in creation. Thankfully, by God's grace, it is not. How much evil and wickedness He restrains. How many mountains He props up, because many more could yet fall into the sea. So I do not wish to suggest that the turmoil and the anguish is the steady norm in creation, but neither can we assume that the turmoil described in this psalm is reserved for some future age beyond our own. Our particular age has not maybe endured the most severe of some of this turmoil, but we have endured. The fact is, this turmoil was present when Psalm 46 was written. It was present when Jesus Christ walked upon this earth in His earthly ministry. And it has been present in all times ever since the fall of Adam. It has been present, and it is present. But the turmoil is not the last word or the only word of this psalm. For as loud as the turbulence of Psalm 46 may be, the silence that we find here has a different kind of volume, doesn't it? I mentioned before that the generally turbulent character of creation is answered by the quieting power of God. We see that laced throughout Psalm 46. In verses 2 and 3, the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the sea, the waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging. In verses 6 and 9, there are wars from one end of the earth to the other. Men strike each other with weapons of war. We understand from these pictures that there is death upon death, famine upon famine, hatred, lying, and murder. We listen in the streets, we hear shrieks of murder. Men yelling for help as they are beaten. Babies crying because they have no food. Children who are screaming out not to be abandoned. And in an instant, the Lord speaks, and a hush falls over it all. All of the chaos, it comes to a stop. And we hear a single, firmly composed voice, and it's our Lord. And He says, "Be still, and know that I am God." And we're still, and everybody is still. And God says, "I've given you hope because I've sent my Son." I hope that when you read Psalm 46, that as clear as the turbulence is, as clear as the stilling power of our God is, that the presence of His Son here is clear to you as well. In verse 1, Christ is our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. In verse 2, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, and the sea surges and threatens to overtake us, we do not fear because we look to the King of Kings. We look to Christ Jesus. In verse 6, the nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, but God lifts up His Word incarnate, Jesus, and the earth melts. He is risen victorious. Verses 8 and 9, come and see the works of the Lord, the way in which Christ comes on the clouds and He makes wars to finally cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and He will shatter the spear, won't He? and he will burn those shields with fire. And perhaps verses 7 and 11 show us Christ as clearly as any place in this psalm. Verses 7 and 11, identically for emphasis, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. This is one instance in which translating it back into the Hebrew might actually help us understand more of its meaning, or at least more of how it teaches us of Christ. The English phrase, the Lord of hosts is with us, translates that Hebrew word that all of you are familiar with, Emmanuel, as in Emmanuel. The Lord of hosts is Emmanuel. He is with us. He has come to us. God is with us. The Lord Jesus who saves us. It is this God, this Christ, who is the covenantal God of Abraham, Isaac, and as mentioned here, of Jacob. The promises made to our patriarchs have been fulfilled in Christ. It is this Christ who is our refuge and our fortress, of verses 7 and 11. Christ is the Lord of hosts, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. It is this Christ, in verse 10, who is exalted among the nations, exalted in all the earth. Just as we find ourselves fearful that we are about to drown in the nearly chaotic turbulence of nature and of nations, our God says to us, pause and look at my Son. Be still and look at my Son. And God says, look at the peace that He has secured for you in heaven. Whatever tranquility that you see in Psalm 46, is it not that of heaven that we're reading about? The city of God is taught to us in verses 4 and 5. You can see the river of life whose streams make glad the city of God. The river of verse 4 is like the one that ran through the Garden of Eden, and even more like the river of Revelation 22, which runs from the throne of God right down the center of heaven itself. The city of God in verse 4 is heaven itself, as verse 4 says, the holy habitation of the Most High. And the citizens of heaven, those who trust in Christ, are those who are spoken of in verse 5 when it says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Can you see the tranquility and the serenity of verses 4 and 5? And if you can, then you're looking at heaven. If you can see it in verses 4 and 5, then you're setting your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. This tranquility interrupts the natural tremors and national wars which occupy so much of the landscape of this psalm, but they do not really dominate. They are answered by the mighty voice of God, who says, quiet, look at my Son. Therefore, we have this twofold vision of God prescribed for those who love Him, a vision of Christ and of heaven, the quieting, calming, assuring answer of our Lord. And this is the vision of Christ and His throne in heaven that enables us to be still and to know that He is God. But can we know the stillness now? Can we know that peace of God which surpasses all understanding today, in this world, with all of these wars and continuing suffering and natural disasters and all the rest? I suppose we all probably realize that the full measure of Psalm 46, the full measure of this quieting impact of Christ which is promised here, the full measure of it will not be known until Christ returns. It will only be at His second coming when every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wars throughout the world will continue until He returns, and it will only be upon His return that the earth shall melt. Mountains until that time will continue to shake, and the ocean will continue to roar violently until we see Him coming in the clouds. Only at the final day will all creatures be silenced, and only at that second coming will all suffering for those who trust in Christ be ended. It is only then that we will drink directly from that river and its streams which make glad the city of our God. Turbulence shall continue, and death shall intrude, and sin shall work its woes. Natural disasters will come and go every year, just as the hurricanes will threaten us each year, sometimes passing us by and sometimes rolling right over us. The full relief, the absolute divine quieting, if you will not come until Jesus Christ returns. Therefore, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. But although we eagerly anticipate that final consummation which Jesus will bring, Christian, we do even now behold His power. And if you know Jesus as Lord, then His Spirit has worked His quieting peace already in your heart. The stillness available to our hearts even now. Even now, Colossians 1 says that every earthly throne and power is subject to the preeminence of Christ. Even now, Philippians 2 says that Christ has been exalted to the highest place of authority and has been given the name which is above all names. Even now, Ephesians 2 says that we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Even now, Philippians 4 says that we have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Even now, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, for Emmanuel has been born in a manger. Even now, verse 11, the God of Jacob is our fortress, for Christ presently protects His church and will never let her fall. If you ask me when Psalm 46 will be fully and manifestly realized, I'll tell you it will not happen until Christ returns to bring us home for good. How we long for that day. But if you ask me, when will Christ be exalted among the nations? Verse 10. When will you have a foretaste of the river of life in heaven? Verse 4. When will Christ be our refuge, our strength, and the cornerstone of His church? Verse 1. When will the Lord of hosts finally be with us? Verse 11. Then I'll tell you without hesitation that He is all of that now. He has accomplished all of that already. For He is the King of kings, He's the Lord of lords, and He's the shepherd of your heart and of His church, even at this very moment. Whatever you see, whatever you shall see, whatever fears you may have, whatever surging of the seas and the shaking and toppling of the mountains, you can be still and know that He is God. Today, as you trust in Christ, who steadies the mountains and calms the oceans. You can be still and know that He is God today as you rejoice that there is a heaven and this is not it. But He is saving it for His people and He's giving us tastes of it in advance. You can be still and know that He is God today as you rejoice in the knowledge that He is enthroned and He reigns. And we may be confident in Him in all things. Amid all the turbulence, be still and know that He is God. Let us pray. Our Lord, would You assure us of these truths in our times of greatest distress, of greatest uncertainty, of greatest fear, of greatest volatility. Whether in events worldwide, nationally, personally, whatever machinations in the church, whatever attacks, remind us that You're God, and that You're still God, and forevermore You will be God. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.